I always identifies as paper. Okay. It's interesting that you mentioned that. We were going to discuss maybe a little bit of that tonight. How interesting. That's all right. Well, you guys are finding some swords. It's heavy. It is not a great scripture race Bible at all. You're really handicapped with my Bible. It's heavy and there's a lot of extra things in it. And so, yeah, there you go. So, I did not have time to get my handouts completely ready tonight. And so, I will have some handouts ready for Sunday because I like for you to have something to refer back to and read and to continue the thoughts on what we've been, this series of communication. I looked back, we actually did the first one in November. It's been that long. I mean, I guess we skipped December, but it's been a while that we've been following this series through. This is the fourth one, and tonight we're going to discuss another aspect of communication, and tonight's title basically is communication connection. And then finding your voice. Oh, yeah, that's my first one. This is midweek service, wake-up service. So everybody rise and shine. My husband said it looked like somebody he knew, but we're not going to mention any names. he looks kind of familiar. So I don't know, but there's sometimes when I look out there, and I'm sure that when I sit out there and someone else is up here, you've seen me look the same way. It's like, you know, and midweek service is a tough time, and so I have to bring a few funnies in. So if you're getting too sleepy-eyed, we may just have to flash that back up, Lucas, from time to time, and shake ourselves or maybe pass out some water or something. But so this guy's trying to get with it. Midweek wake-up service. You can go to the next one if you want to. I've got a few funnies, and then we'll get started on something serious here. I'm awake, kind of. I've seen this in Sunday school, big time. You kids awake? I'm awake, kind of. So it's kind of tough sometimes in the middle of the week to kind of get all charged up. Now, don't do the next one yet, but how many people in here are millennials? Raise your hand if you're a millennial. There's a few millennials that are missing. So are you? You're a millennial, aren't you, Sarah? Oh, well, I've got the categories here. I'll let you know. Let's see. Okay, millennials are 1981 to 1995. If you were born between 1981 and 1995. Well, I know Jason and Lindsay were. And Lucas. And so, no more millennials. The rest of you are younger, or the rest of you are the chosen generation, huh? And so... Okay, well, I've got something for the millennials and the ones that are missing. I'll have to show it to him later. So let's look at the next one. How to jumpstart a millennial. So there you go. I'm like, that is awesome. I just seen someone with something like that this week. And I'm like, and they were a millennial. And so I was like, oh, millennial, just in time. Good to see you. So here you go, Miss Millennial. We're going to jumpstart you. She's like, sign me up. So anyway, just want to share a few funnies to get us started, get our blood pumping, to get us all paying attention. And let's get into some serious things. There'll be a few other lightly humorous things throughout the teaching tonight. But tonight's teaching is on, you can go ahead and go to the next one, Lucas, for me. One of these days I'm going to get a little something to do it automatically. There's another millennial. He missed it. Hey, throw that back and show him. This, Sarah, this is what he needs in the morning. How to jumpstart a millennial. There you go. So. That's good stuff. Okay, you can go there. Communication connection, find your voice. And I'm going to share a couple interesting things about this tonight. You may be like, okay, where is this going? We will lay a foundation, and then you will start finding the connection. You'll get the connection here in just a little bit. So our main key verse is Psalms 29:4. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. So throughout the teaching tonight, we got to continue to remember this. The voice of the Lord is powerful. the voice of the Lord. And so communication, connection, find your voice. What we're going to be talking about tonight is, and we have done this series over a series of months, and I know some of you have forgotten some of the things, and next month I'm going to do a whole big review of some things and kind of pull it all together and finish this. But communicating with God in the very beginning, when we started over there with the ladies, we were talking about God communicating with us, the original voice. Without the Spirit of God, we have no voice. And so God is the original voice. We talked about communicating with one another. And we talked about good ways of communication. We talked about not so great ways of communication. How we've talked about communication and unity. Without proper communication, there is no unity. Have you all, even since you've had that teaching, have you not discovered that it is important to communicate properly to people to make things go right? Because when you don't, they don't go as well. Sometimes they completely blow up. So tonight, we're going to talk about something just a little bit different. This is more of an evangelistic type teaching on communication. Because tonight, we're going to talk about finding your voice. So everybody in here, you can go to the next one for me. Oh, I had one more. Funny, I forgot about him. He looks like Elon Musk. So I don't think it was supposed to be him. It's time the church woke up. Woke is a big, trendy word. And 5 years ago, the only kind of woke up we thought about was like this. I got woke up. That's the only, we didn't think of woke like we do now. Woke has been redefined. Now it's a very trendy, it's now woke is a philosophy. It's going to go down in our history books as a trending philosophy in our nation that actually changed the course of history. Because of that, there's been a lot of things that have been removed. A lot of statues have been destroyed. Aunt Jemima has been removed off her syrup, you know, and Uncle Ben has gone from the rice. And we've got all these different things just because some people got woke up. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the church being woke up and the communication connection there. There are so many voices woke up in our world, but one voice will pierce through them all. We only need one voice to be sounded, church. And it'll make every other voice shut up, so to speak. Because there's no greater voice. There's nothing more powerful than his voice. But God chooses not to herald down his message with his own vocal cords, and he could. And if God decided to do that, he'd shake the whole place. You know, we know what it says when the rapture will occur. You know, there's going to be a shout from heaven and big things are going to happen. So we really don't, until it's time for us to leave here, we probably don't want God shouting down to earth, because it's going to change everything when he does that. But he still wants his voice to be heard. And out of the infinite wisdom of God, he chose to use his people. So there's a lot of voices. We need to get woke up a little bit better than this guy. We need to get a little more on fire than this guy. But think about it. Sometimes I'm saying spiritually speaking, because there's so many voices, there's so many things that drain us in the world. Sometimes we're like, we're not really woke to spiritual things. We can go to the next one. That guy's like hurting me. Okay, now, the seven generations since 1901. This is how I knew this there, because I actually did my research. I wouldn't have known it. And so, we're going to talk about the seven. It's interesting, because from 1901 to this last generation, they are saying now we've passed seven generations, which is probably not coincidental, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. We're in the seventh. And so, here in this country, the greatest generation, 1901 to 1927, there was a lot of characteristics about the different generations, but I didn't have enough room to talk about them all. But the greatest generation, they were characterized by being thrifty and respectful. But if you know your history, you know why they had to be thrifty to survive. And they had this common characteristic as a whole, society was respectful. You go back and you study it, it was a very respectful time. There was a time when a man walking down the street, it was even in some of our Oklahoma towns way back in the day, it was illegal for a man to walk down the street and spit on the sidewalk. You would get a fine. You didn't go spit on the sidewalk. And, you know, it was just a respectful thing. There was a lot of things about respect. Back in the day, you know, and I know when I'm saying this, talking to our youth, back in the day when a man and a woman were walking down the street customarily, which side did the woman walk on? Mm-hmm. And the man always walked closest to what? The street. Why? Mm-hmm. Protection. And if it rained and there were puddles, it was to keep her clean. It was protection and to keep her clean and proper. He would take the puddle. He would take the splash, you know. And there, we have this old book, and I think we still have it. It's out in your other office of the three offices. It's out in one of the libraries. But it is the coolest book because it's an old book of manners and basically habits and manners that they taught kids back in like the 20s. It was taught in schools. I need to bring it up here. We need to go over it. But it's very interesting. So that was the respectful, thrifty. Silent generation was the next one, 1928 to 1945. Why were they silent? What silenced these people for the most part? Depression, Great Depression, and war. Mm-hmm. World War I got into World War II and the Great Depression. Depression was a big thing, and that's why they're called the silent generation. Silenced the people. And they were known for their empathy and their flexibility. Why were they? Because of what they went through. They were empathetic and more flexible. We got to eat beans again tonight. Yeah, let's eat beans. Beans are better than nothing. You know, they were flexible. What? We're not having steak tonight? No, we're having beans again. Okay. And so, but think about the generation they lived in. And so it characterized not just individuals, but our whole nation was characterized as a general movement like this. So the next came the greatest generation. I thought the greatest generation is not that generation. I thought it was the baby boomers, just because I'm barely a baby boomer, but I am a baby boomer. And so 1946 to 1964. And so baby boomers, idealism, security. But that is also the period when there was the separation of church and state. So the baby boomers, why are they called baby boomers? Yeah, exactly. For the longest time, Sister Shelley, I really didn't put the connection together. I guess I didn't think about it hard enough. I'm like, you know, after the Depression, we're not depressed anymore. We started having babies. Things were better. And so we started having families. Mm-hmm. Cold winters. That practicality. How to stay warm. And so... But it's kind of related. I mean, that's where the name comes from. But it was a more prosperous time as well. People felt more at ease. And so a lot of idealism started being born out of the baby boomer generation. So, and I'll go back to that here in just a minute. So the next one is Gen X. Gen X, or Generation X. And so it's 1965 to 1984. That's you. Okay. That's your generation. Okay, that's your generation. We got some Gen X's here in his. Okay, we got several Gen X's in here. I need to figure out how to jumpstart the Gen X's and see what we need to do with that next time. I think we're going to need a bigger battery. So, Gen X, they were competitive, but they were also started this philosophy of collaboration. Networking began even as early as that. Now, it was a little more... not as much as what we're seeing later on, but that's when it started happening. People were not so independent. You know, it used to be way back in the day, everybody, I was thinking about this, the church families way back in the day, talking way back like in the greatest generation and the silent generation, a lot of that, they met together, but a lot of them farmed, and so come wintertime, they didn't see each other. You came, and you had a big church dinner. We all got together. The preacher came, he preached us. We had a church dinner. Okay, we go home for the winter. But you know what? A lot of those people really served God strongly. They came out at springtime and they weren't backslid. You know, they came back out and they were ready to go. And so, but Gen X was competitive, started with collaboration. And so the next one is the Gen Y or the millennials. And so I pick on the millennials a little bit just because they're funny. There's just things about them. But anyway, I have some millennials. Risk-taking. I see that. And curious. Curiosity started with the, not that nobody was ever curious in any of the other generations, but as a movement, curiosity. They begin curious, questioning things, and risk-taking. And then we have Generation Z, 1996 to 2010. Creative, but this was a generation, and it started here, that craved constant stimulation. Who is in Generation Z here? Okay, just fess up. Generation Z. Yeah. Creative. They can creatively get out of a lot of different things. They are more creative to be able to get out of their work than anybody I know. I mean, it's just like, how can you be so creative, you know? But some, they are the generation that crave constant stimulation. Why? Technology. And so what has technology done for us? Is all technology bad? No, I'm using some tonight. But what has technology actually created? What is it? Laziness. And it has created lazy minds. And they will not, because let's look back to Generation Y and the millennials. They're a little more risk-taking. They are curious. They'll launch out. But this next generation, because of the moving of technology, so much technology, now we're setting back and we want to just be stimulated. That's why, and not picking on anybody, we're just talking about generations. I'm not picking about this group. But that's why a lot of this age don't want to work. And so it's not necessarily that, oh, it's just these kids and they don't want to work. It's because they're living in a generation that has fed them so much stuff and kept them so entertained that if it's not entertaining, I'm not down for it. And so work is not super entertaining all the time. It's just not. And, you know, we're not down for it then. And so we're going to tie all this together here in just a little bit. The next one, then the last generation is Generation Alpha. And so the Alpha, we're going to go back to the beginning, I guess. And so Generation Alpha. And so we have some Alphas in here. And so 2011 to 2025, which we have not reached yet. But the interesting and scary thing about this generation is they're more digitally connected than human connections. And that's leading somewhere. It's leading somewhere spiritually. And as you see, we have changed from thrifty and respectful to very little human connection. That's leading somewhere. And so tonight we're talking about communication, connection, and finding your voice. The reason we need to find our voice, and I'll explain that here in just a little bit, is because we are living in this generation. We're not all born in it. So we have all the different varieties of generations in this room. Probably one in every group, I think. At least one. And so, but all of us have landed living in Generation Alpha. So there is, we're still here for a reason and there's a purpose. It's interesting to learn about the different generations we all fall into. But as born again Christians, we are all truly one generation. We're going to talk about that. What do you have, Matthew? Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Exactly. And he used the word cancel, and we're using the word woke tonight. You know, we showed some funny pictures about being woke up, and it used to be that's what we thought it meant. You know. 4 years ago, when you said you woke up, you got up, somebody called you or knocked on the door and you woke up. But now when we hear woke, we don't think of that. The first thing we think of is what society has pumped into us about woke culture. and with the woke culture is the cancel culture. I don't like your opinion about what you, you know, I don't like your opinion. I don't like what you're saying about this issue. So we cancel you. We like, no more. We punish you sometimes. And so those are some obstacles, because to tell you the truth, the world is not going to like our message, because it's not earth shaking, but guess what? They didn't like Jesus' message. They canceled him as well. They just didn't call it that. They literally canceled him. And so, but it's the same, it was the same spirit that was going on. Okay, so let's talk about the seven generations. Sometimes we talk about this and we'll say, well, I don't see it that way because I'm generation, I'm baby boomer. Or I don't see it that way, I'm generation Z. And so we just cannot communicate. That's not true if you're a born again Christian. Because Christianity pervades over every different barrier. That's why you can take the gospel to every country on the face of this earth. If it's the true gospel, you can take it to everybody. Whether they speak the same language or not, you may have to work through a language barrier. But you can take the gospel to a child living in a slum in Haiti that lives under cardboard boxes and a mom and dad that live there, and you can present the gospel and it can be life-changing to them. Or you could take it to Elon Musk or some of the richest men in the world, and you could still present the gospel. If they chose it, it would be life-changing for them. You see what I'm saying? There is no barriers to it. And so as a church, and we talked about this last month, we talked about unity. Now let's talk about the fact that, yes, we're all born in different generations, and I'll talk about that here in just a minute, how that all plays into this. But the bottom line is, yes, we're born in different generations, but we are all, as born-again Christians, are only one generation. And there's scripture for that. Okay, let's go to the next one. So we're going to have a scripture race. Now, the boys won last month, so we need the girls to win this month and the next time and the next time. But anyway, so come on, girls, no pressure. And so if you have a Bible and you're going to participate in the scripture race, I want you to raise your Bible and I want you to place it on your head. Yeah, Lindsay, you need to get on deck here to help them out here a little bit. There's a big fat one up here. I don't know if it'd be very good to use, but yeah, that may be a little. You might want a floppy one. There's certain tools of the trade for this game. Scripture race, so we have the tortoise and the hare, you know. So don't just think because you're so fast that you're always going to win. Because sometimes it's slow and steady that wins. Okay, so first verse, if you find it and you think you've got it correct, I will not repeat the verse again. So it's one time. But stand up and read it to us. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Shelley's got it. Oh, Titus was next. Very good. Okay. In just a minute, Lucas, I'll have you tap it, but don't tap it yet. Very good. So I want to reiterate this. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. We're talking about tonight, communication, connection, find your voice. So now it's saying you got to speak, we all got to speak the same thing. Well, that doesn't sound like that's my voice. Hold on with me. Hold on with me. Okay. The reason we got to speak the same thing is so we'll be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, so we can move against what's going on, the philosophy that's going on in our world now. So here's the next one. Everybody put your, yeah, go ahead and put it on your head again. It's too hard to bend over. Put your thinking caps on. One for the boys. 1 Peter 2:9. I need to move to this side from time to time. I favor my left. Sarah's up. See if she's got it. Amen. 1 and 1. Very good. So, bouncing back. We're all born in different generations. We're all living in Alpha generation. But if you're born again and you're in Christ, that we are one generation. We are the chosen generation. So does that mean that we're all exactly the same? It's a trick question. Yes and no. And we're going to talk about that. Okay. So, Lucas, can you keep track for me of the scriptures so I won't lose track? One for the boys and one for the girls. Are you an honest tally keeper back there? Oh, Lance. London. Go ahead and hit my screen twice because I think I put my scriptures up there. Yeah. So I just couldn't put them up there yet. Okay. We can go to the next one. Slide 8. Okay. So we're chosen generation if you're born again. So what's your message? Do you know that we all have a message? Everybody has a message. We live in, especially, I think, here in the United States and in more countries where there's liberty, you have a message. And you display your message more because you have the freedom to do so. A lot of other countries don't have that same freedom. You may have a message, but you don't have the freedom to display it. You don't have the freedom to share it. So we all have a message. But as Christians, we have one basic purpose. But does everybody fulfill that purpose the very same way? Let's think about it. So what's your message to your family? What's your message to your church? And what's your message to the world? What voice speaks loudest in your life? I want you to think about that. What voice speaks the loudest in your life? You may say, well, God does. How do we evaluate what voice speaks loudest in our life? How do we evaluate it? We can't evaluate someone else's. I mean, we sit around and do that, but that's not what we're supposed to do. How would we evaluate what voice speaks loudest in our life? What is it? What's the most important? Okay, very good. Are there any scriptures that could substantiate that? There are. Okay, very good. And so, what's most important? Where we spend our time. What we spend ourselves engaged in. That's usually the voice that is speaking loudest to us. Now, let's talk about this just a minute. We all work, and if we're not working an outside job, we work in our homes. We all have things we have to do. Everybody has something to do. Students have schoolwork. Housewives have housework. You know, we have jobs. Various different things. So sometimes those things take 8 hours out of our day. Sometimes 10 hours. Sometimes 12 hours. You know, so if we only categorize time, then that might give us a struggle on what voice is the loudest in our life. You see what I'm saying? So it can't only be time. But can we hear the voice of God and follow His leading regardless of where we're at or what we're doing? Can we multitask spiritually? We have to. We have to. And so let's think about this as we go through this lesson. What voice is the loudest in your life? What speaks to you the most? What's driving you? What takes your time? Boys, I'm going to separate you. Or boy. In a woke-driven society, what makes our voice any different from anyone else's? So what is woke? Somebody pitch in on it. That's good. I'm glad they are. So, that's good to know. I'm not going to call you a they or a shim. And so, okay, very good. Woke equals confusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they woke up all of a sudden and decided, well, I don't think that's right. I'm going to make a big stink about it. And so have they made a big stink about it? How loud is the woke voices? Very loud. Good example. What does that challenge us? 1% is, and they are. You turn on the radio, you hear it. Everything on woke is huge in Disney. Disney is a huge platform for woke and LGBTQ. Hey, now I guess, or whatever. It just keeps going on. And so Disney is a huge platform for it, but they're not the only platform. Lots of medias are platforms for it. Amazon, yeah, there's lots of Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is a big, and so I don't know what Twitch is. Oh, okay. So we have all this stuff going on. These voices. Interesting that Matthew brought out 1%, but it's making a big, we know, we hear it all the time. So what percentage? I mean, look at the group we have here. We can make a lot of noise for the right thing. In a woke-driven society, what makes our voice any different? We're just another opinion, right? We're just another philosophy. Throw it in the hat with the rest of them who think, you know, they think they're a trash can or whatever. You know, just it's a philosophy. It's just an ideal. What makes our voice any different? I want you to keep thinking about it, because we got to talk about these things. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And I'm glad you brought that point out, because we are to listen to other people respectfully, even if we don't agree with them. And there's going to be a lot of times we don't agree. And so we got to listen. For us to be the right voice, we have to listen respectfully. But listen respectfully doesn't mean we agree. Okay? So scripture race, here we go. I think it's tied. Here we go. John 15:5. Oh, Titus. Oh, he didn't get it. Lydia was second. That was it. Okay, two for the girls. Very good. Now you can click my screen. It'll come up there. There we go. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. God is the vine, we are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He says, he that abideth in me, and I in him. It's twofold. Not just claiming the name. The name has to be in you. He has to be inside. We won't bring forth any fruit just claiming the name. So if we're not being very fruitful, we're just claiming the name. There's no other way to divide that. If we're not bearing forth fruit, we're just claiming the name. Because he said, the same bringeth forth much fruit if they abide in me. So we not only have to claim the name, but he has to abide in us. So that's why we're talking about the communication connection. There has to be this direct uplink with God through Christ Jesus. And it has to be a continual thing, or we will not bear forth any fruit. It says, for without me you can do anything. You cannot do anything. So our voice will not be heard. Won't make a difference. It'll be just like any other woke voice, you know, out there. And the only reason they're gaining attention is because they have the media on their side. And we don't. But we don't need the media on our side. Acts chapter 2 didn't have the media. They didn't have Twitter saying, guess what's going on in the upper room. They weren't Facebooking live. But they had the power. What was happening, I mean, blast it out of that room. That's what we need. Let's go to the next slide. Now let's talk about our voice. When I talk about find your voice, what I'm meaning by that is that, let me read this first and then we'll discuss this. Our voice from the beginning of time was to glorify our Creator and bring forth fruit. Each of us have an eternal point. We have an eternal point, intention, direction, and reason for living. Every one of us. You have an eternal point. You started when you were conceived. God gave you life. You were conceived for eternity. You're here. We're here. And then God had a point for your life, an intention for it, a direction, and a reason for your very living. The inscribed talents and abilities embroidered into your DNA were masterly positioned to one day become my voice. So everybody's DNA in here is a little different. We all have DNA. But we're not all the same. We don't all look the same. We don't all talk the same. Our characteristics are a little bit different. But you have special inscribed talents and abilities that someone else doesn't have. You may say, well, yeah, there's lots of singers, or there's lots of people who write books, and there's lots of people who do this and do that. And sure, we share talents with other people, but nobody will do it just like you do. They will just not. There's nobody who can be exactly like you are. But your plan was designed for God to use you specifically. So your voice, it says, my voice is his voice through my unique design. That was the plan from the very beginning. That was taken actually from one of my things in my book. But the bottom line is, our voice is yielding our life, all that we are, everything about our characteristics to God, that he use us. So then, basically, without being weird with this term, and it's, I'm not meaning it weird, but basically he channels through us. The Holy Ghost channels through us as we yield ourselves to him. So it doesn't take away from our voice meaning who we are. He desires to use who you are. He desires to use Jason Pepper, who he is. But he wants to flow through his life so that the message is unified and the same. We are a united front, but various different talents, abilities, and characteristics. So, is it our voice or his voice that's proceeding out of us? What voice is proceeding out of us? Day to day. From the job to home, to stressful situations, to good situations, to aggravating situations. How about to situations where people who oppose us? We can go to the next slide. The world's ideology asserts that your voice, and I actually got this from an Oprah Winfrey show that she did. I wasn't watching, I read about it. The world's ideology asserts that your voice or your truth is most dominant. So that's what the world is teaching us, and that's why we've got what we've got going on. My truth is most dominant. So I'm going to cancel yours, because this is my truth. And you will have to address me as whatever, you know. If I identify as a deer, yeah, that's a nice animal. And so, or a swan. You must call me, you know, Swan Pepper. You know, if not, I'm insulted and I'm offended. And that kind of thing. Because they say, your truth, whatever you say truth is dominant. That is very dangerous. But it's all lining up to the one world system. That's why we're going through this situation that we are, because that's where we're headed. So Oprah said, speaking your truth is the most powerful tool that we have. Speak your truth. Speak your truth. Speak your truth. And that's been driven into the minds of young people through public education and through social media platforms and through the colleges. And now we've got these situations that we're dealing with. And it's crazy. So tell me, somebody else, tell me, what's wrong with this statement? How can you say that? What? How do you substantiate that? My truth may be just as valid as yours, Shelley. Well, I may see you like that. I see you, Bambi. I'm playing the devil's advocate, but you see what I'm saying? You are exactly right. You are right. You know you're on the right trail there. But, yeah, you're on the right trail. Just don't find Elmer Fudd. So, I hope nobody identifies as Elmer Fudd or something in here. Yeah, there we go. Charles does. It's all coming out now. Not too many of you come out tonight. Just a few. So, but really, she's right. But how else can we combat this? What's wrong with this statement? What's really wrong with it? There's no basis for her truth. It's her opinion. It's all relative. And you were getting at it. It's all relative. It's just because they believe it. Just because you believe something, does that mean it's true? No. So here's what we don't have anybody here that's the greatest generation. We probably have the silent generation, Sister Betty. But from that generation to Generation Alpha, all of us got to realize that there is only one truth. And this is highly contested. And that's kind of why that's why I felt like the Lord really put this on my heart about the communication thing and finding your voice, because this is hotly contested. Truth is, it will cause people to get riled up. And so we as a church have to be unified. Of course, the scripture admonishes us to be unified. We got to be the same voice. We got to be a united front, and we've got to understand what truth really is. Okay, so we're going to have another scripture verse. The score is 2-1, right? Okay, girls ahead. Girls ruling right now, boys are drooling, but we'll see what happens. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself. Okay, 1 John 1:6. He's sending me a note. Oh, I think Robert had it. Ooh, okay, click my slide there, Lucas. If we say we have fellowship with him, talk about calling his name and abiding. These scriptures go together. So we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness. So we call his name, but we're still walking in darkness. We're not abiding in him. We lie. And do not have the truth. Do not have the truth. So, challenging verse. We have to learn to walk in truth. And the only way to do that is accept the truth for what it is. Accept it and submit to truth and truth within our own personal lives. Let's look at the next verse. Here we go. Put your hats on. Helmets of salvation. 3 John 1:4. Oh, Lindsay. Whoa. Want to make God happy? You want to bring some joy to his day? Walk in truth. But it means not just saying the name, abide in him. It means not just saying I fellowship with him, but walking not in darkness. So we may say, well, I'm walking with Jesus, but if we're walking in darkness in any area of our life, then we're alienated from him at that point. We're not walking in light. But if we want to bring joy to him, there's no other way but to walk in truth. We've got to protect the truth. Let's go to the next slide, and we're going to get into a little more intensity here. Don't you love those lifts? I've seen some people like that. Turn off, disconnect from the voices that are not based on truth. Be discerning. Turn it off. And it's, you know, I don't know that any of us without, unless that, you know, God has laid it on your heart that there's something you're going to do to use that to reach somebody, but just to casually listen to the junk that's going on in the world, it's not safe. It's not smart.
It will corrupt you. And, you know, it corrupt any of us if we just continue to entertain it. And so filthy communications corrupt good manners, what the Bible says. But disconnect from them. There's a lot of voices, a lot of things hollering, a lot of messages out there. But we got to be careful to, you know, disconnect from that. Truth is only connected. And there's no way this can be, this can be debated, but nobody will win it. Because there's no way, and it may be hotly, it's going to be hotly contested till the day we leave here. Because somebody may, they just will not accept it. But you cannot say that truth is connected to anything that's relative. You can't. That's not the basis of truth. Truth has to be eternal, has to be immutable, and it has to be omnipotent. And that those characteristics only belong to one deity, God. There's not, and it cannot be truth if it's relative. It cannot be my truth against your truth. So the truth that we're standing on is not Tate's truth or Matthew's truth or Pastor's truth or Charles' truth or Lucas or whoever or Addie or Lydia's truth. The truth we're standing on is the truth. There's no other truth. So we have to be established on that. And so that is why we have to really be careful to rightly divide the word. We got a quick little scripture verse that we need to go to on this one. Let me make sure I'm on number 9. Let me see. Did I put it in here? Oh, man. I must have forgot to put it in there. Hope it's on the next one. Okay. Ignore that one. I missed that one. So, I do want to talk about... I lost my connection. And so, without connection, the voice of truth at work, if you lose your connection, you're going to lose ethics. Because ethics is based on truth. True ethics are. At school... you don't do your schoolwork in truth, you're going to lose your ethics. If you don't at home, you're going to lose your ethics. You're not going to be responsible. You're not going to be accountable. We're not going to be a united front with the right voice going forward. So your voice is his voice. My voice is his voice. And basically channeling through us, and not in a weird way, you know what I'm saying, but he is moving through our lives continually. Okay, let's go to the next slide, Brother Lucas. I like this picture. Plug into your true power source. So now, here's another punch for reading our Bibles. Now, I'm not going to just say, read your Bibles, because we've told you guys that. I tell myself that. You know, you need to read your Bibles. What do we really need to do with our Bibles? We need to study them, exactly, and then what we need to do with them. What is that? I didn't hear it. Apply them. Live them. So we need to get past reading. We need to study them. We need to bear down on it. Do you know why you believe what you believe? Scripturally. Do you have the basis scripturally? If you don't, then you need to study. We all need to study till we have that basis scripturally. Because how can we present truth at a united front if we don't know it? Well, you know, it's in there. Well, that's kind of what we believe. That's not going to be enough. There's voices out there coming from every direction. His voice needs to be substantiated with scripture because this is the only true source of truth. Let's go to the next one. Look at this little guy. You have the power source at least to change, waiting to connect with you. You have the power source at least to change, waiting to connect with you. What needs to change in our lives? Does anything need to change? We got to all admit something needs to change. We're all changing. We're all moving. We're all fluid in this world. We're changing. Are we connected, plugged in? Do we have the continual flow of the mind of Christ? The continual flow, the mind of Christ. We all have probably, what do you call it? Like spotty service. It's like when you're at, you know, a broken bow in a cabin. You got some spotty service, you know. Out at Lindsay's house, you have spotty service sometimes. In pastor's office is spotty service. So sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. But when we are hardwired to something, outside somebody cutting the wire, we have continual service. Nobody's going to cut our wire if we're hardwired. Continual service. Do you have a continual flow of the mind of Christ streaming through us? Discuss how to approach adversity, simple lifestyles of this world within ourselves and within others. And so for saving some time here, I want you to consider these things. And I will try to have the handout ready for Sunday that kind of summarizes this. But to have the mind of Christ streaming through us. When I pray a lot of times, I pray for myself. I start with myself. And I know this is a repetitive prayer sometimes. At different times, I repeat it the same way. But I mean it every time. I pray that the Lord, and I start with myself, and then I start with my family, my children, our grandchildren, and then I go through the church. And that godly wisdom and discretion will rule in your minds. That the mind of Christ will rule your every thought, motive, word, and direction. That you will be so linked up that you will be his hands, heart, feet, and voice. And I pray it over each one of us. And I start with myself because I need it. But then because I realize we're one big body. We're one unit moving together. And that's, you know, that will make us powerful. Our voice will be different than the other voices when we start walking in this church more and more. When we plug in and stay connected. The next one. And I'll just read this quickly. Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more numbered than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When you go back to the original Hebrew and you say, and you read the words that the English translators made curiously wrought, and the other one was talking about how it was continuance were fashioned, those words talk about being basically embroidered upon. And I don't know, probably younger people may not know what embroidery is. That's a different generation. Do you know what embroidery is? I know some of the boys may know. I don't know. Most of the girls may know what embroidered means. And so something that's embroidered, then they take a needle and thread, and then you have designed a design on a piece of cloth. And so you connect the thread with the cloth, and then you design a picture. And so that's what DNA is. DNA is the thread of God, and he's created a picture in us. But when we were born, did we have that picture? We had the beginnings of it, but the picture's still being made. That is our voice, church. That's who we are. Everyone in here has different characteristics. That sign-up board out there says, get involved. How many? There's like six different clipboards out there, different things, and different people have signed up for different things, and that's the beauty of it. You're going to take your voice and you're going to use it. You're going to be a voice. You're going to position yourself, and there will be other avenues of service, but we position ourselves. But the most important thing for us to be effective, we have to be positioned in truth. We cannot be fruitful heralding our own voice. We won't be. We can't herald our own voice and think we'll be fruitful. It just will not happen. Okay, let's go to the next one. I just got a couple more slides and we're done. You may be the exact one-of-a-kind expression of God's love someone needs today. We may think, well, I'll leave it to someone else, but you may be the one. Today's your day. It's you. You know, God is, sometimes I think of it, I think this kind of where Jason gets his little imagination, because I get this imagination sometimes. I'm thinking God is up there and he's like, looking, he's looking down, and maybe he does it randomly. I doubt it. But anyway, just go along with me. Pulls out, oh, Tate Barger. It's his day. And so he's like, he sends a little message down there. He's channeling his message to Tate, and Tate may be in tune. You know, and he's in tune, and he hits it. He nails it. He fulfills what he's supposed to do that day. But then he may pull out, I don't know, he may pull out Sister London's name. Yeah. And she's still young. She may not always hit the mark. And so, but she may. Because think about a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, when she was at that revival, God spoke to her about Aubrielle and praying for her ears, and she never knew anything about it, about her ears. God pulled her little name out, and uniquely, he could have pulled my name out. Well, I wasn't there that night, so it's a good thing he didn't pull my name out. But he could have pulled out, he may have pulled my name out, she's not there. could have pulled out Lindsay's name, or Lucas's, or anybody else that was there. But she was to be the exact one-of-a-kind expression of God's love to Aubrielle that night. Being in tune. That's what we're called here to be. The next one, this is, I think, my last one. I like this. God, I want your truth to be the loudest voice in my life. Correct me. Comfort me. Come closer. And I will trust God. You are good at being God. I want your truth to be the loudest. When his truth is the loudest, then we will bring forth the fruit. It won't happen any other way. And so when we're challenged with adversity in this world and other voices are coming at us, and maybe sometimes even physically, voices coming toward us that are adverse or confrontational or a difference of belief, how we respond is critical. How we respond. What is our motive when we respond? What is our tone? We go back to those things. What is our facial expression? What is our attitude? And we have to really work on those things, because if we're angry and we rant or we get disgusted or we even show disgust on our face to someone, it's not his voice. It's our voice. And so that perfect plan won't be fulfilled correctly. So if we want his voice to be the loudest voice in our lives, we have to allow it to be. We have to ask him to do it. And then we have to deliver it. We got to take it beyond this room. We've got to take it where we go and let his voice lead us. Absolutely and completely. You guys have been very attentive. I don't think I have any more Bible verses. Who won tonight? Oh, girls. One for the boys, one for the girls. And so it's a tie. And so that means we'll have to have a tiebreaker. And so we will do that at another teaching. But tonight I want to leave you with this. Don't make God have to give you a charge, like we had the millennials, you know. Don't make God have to wake you up. Don't just go through life, Lord, help us not as zombies, but we be awake, and that we take the voice of God to our generation. Because the bottom line is, we're here for that purpose. We are here. We're the unique vessels. So let's yield our instruments. And God needs every one of us. He doesn't need just one or two. He needs all of us. And so, praise the Lord. I hope there was a takeaway from this. And I hope the Lord just speaks to you through it. And I'm going to try to have a handout so that you can, there's more information I had in here that I really didn't cover all. So I'll just put it in the handout so you can review it, because we got other things that's going on tonight. So Pastor, you could come and coordinate us and everything. Thank you for listening and participating. And I just pray that this will be a blessing to you.